Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe to our podcast by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podcast.com or on iTunes. Here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in the book of Matthew, Shorts Be Banned. The title of the message today is Shorts Be Banned. Religion. It was a strict, lifeless system back during the time of Jesus, and also before I was saved. I believe that church was too, because the message was that I didn't measure up. I wasn't as good as they were. I wore jeans, they wore suits. Jesus sees that, and his heart is broken during his time here physically on earth. My first time on my first leadership team meeting was not fun at all. It was so bad that I finally left the church. The first meeting I had difficulty with was with my friend Andy. We hung out after church weekly, and his parents had a lot of influence on my walk today. Andy, of course, is an atheist now, but at the time was struggling with his spirituality when we were teenagers. Andy would at times show up for church in shorts. That, of course, was an issue to the board. They began to discuss how they could get Andy to stop showing up for church wearing clothing like that. They were going to work on finding a way to tell him to stop coming to church in shorts. I, of course, was his friend. Also, even though I was biblically inept at the time, still had some understanding of God and thought, why would God care what he wore to church? But also I knew what Andy was struggling with inside and chose to speak up and defend him. I said to the board, why would God care what Andy wears to church? Wouldn't God care more that Andy is in church? That didn't go over well. And finally they just told him, which I believe was another push for him away from God and into the mess he's in today. The second meeting we had was about our janitor of 20-some years. He was getting slower in his old age, and his job performance, it wasn't bad, but it just took him more time to accomplish his work. But the board decided they would rather get rid of him and hire a younger man or woman to come in and take over. We had money as a church, so I suggested some things. He still does a good job. It just takes him a little longer to do it. If we're so upset about that, maybe we could just hire him some help instead of firing him. There has to be some other thing we can do to help him out. Once again, I was voted down. Religion is a lifeless system. There are many beautiful churches out there today with dead orthodoxy and religion reigning in the walls. This is what God says then, and what he decided to add to it, and Jesus continues to deal with that here. Jesus dealing with the attitude of the heart. You may not have killed, but the killer is there in your anger. You have may not committed adultery, but the lustful individual is there. You are already guilty in the heart. You cut off parts of your body, you still have the problem. Now he tackles another issue of the heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 says this. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. Now, the Greek says, put away the wife, which was a cultural issue at the time. Verse 32. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. As we get into the 19th chapter, we will get into greater depth on this issue. The word there is put her away. It's from taken from Deuteronomy 24. It's about adultery. The Pharisees and Sadducees had two different theologies on the issue here. Shemaiah was one of the rabbis of the time, and he referred to this as sexual uncleanliness. If you found out someone was not a virgin, like in the case of Mary, you did not have to go through with the marriage. Or if they committed adultery, she was stoned to death, and then you could go on in your life because it was a capital offense. Hillel and Aqaba of the rabbis said that if your wife got on your nerves, if she said something bad about her in-laws, or she let the food spoil, or even burned your dinner, or any offense, then you could divorce your wife and put her away. So what was happening here was some of the religious leaders had over 15 wives due to these teachings, because they just put away the wife and get another one. So putting away a wife was a man-made issue within the religion. It was selfish, and a selfish way of saying for a Pharisee, I don't desire to deal with my marriage. I don't desire to deal with this woman whom I'm with, so I can just put her away and marry another woman, and that's okay with God. But guess what? It was a man-made issue. It wasn't okay. And now Jesus, who is God, is telling them this. Divorce is still a very dividing issue in the church today. Divorce is not unpardonable sin. The issue back then was the man-made rules of culture. And today, in our culture, especially in Hollyweird, marriage is so lightly taken today that we see this, and we do too. For example, Ernest Borgnine and Ethel Merman, they were married for 32 days. Drew Barrymore and Jeremy Thomas, married for 30 days. Axl Rose and Evan Everly, married 26 days. Sinead O'Connor and Barry Herridge, married 18 days. Mario Lopez and Ali Landry was married 2 weeks. Eddie Murphy and Tracy Edmonds, married 2 weeks. Cher and Greg Allman, married for 9 days. Dennis Hopper and Michelle Phillips, married for 8 days. Britney Spears and Jason Alexander, married for 55 hours. Zsa Zsa Gabor and Philippe Daba, less than 24 hours. Rudolph Valentino and Gene Acker were married for about 6 hours. 6 hours! Celebrities not taking marriage seriously. My friend Phil was driving through Vegas before he was saved and said about his now wife Trish, "Well, I'll marry her, and I can always divorce if it doesn't work out." That is the culture nowadays. When the love and feelings go, then the marriage gets thrown away. There was a man in Dubai, and he holds the record for the shortest marriage. He went into a courtroom, he got married. Seconds later, he walked out across the hall to the other courtroom and got a divorce. Now, the record for the longest marriage, the world's record for the longest marriage, goes to Herbert and Zelmira Fisher, who were married 86 years, 9 months, and 16 days as of February 27, 2011, when the husband passed away at 106 years old. Then the woman with the most marriages goes to Linda Wolf, who was married 23 times. Linda married a convict, a homeless man, a musician, a plumber. One husband lasted just 3 days. She married another man 3 times. The Bible teaches differently, that marriage keeps the love alive. Marriage goes through seasons, and as the years go by, it becomes worth more. So you need to give someone more than 6 hours before you divorce them. Now, the law didn't say you couldn't divorce your wife. That was not what was prohibited. What the law said was you put her away and give her a bill of divorce. It then said if she married someone else after you gave her the divorce papers and the husband died, or she divorced that husband, she was not allowed to come back and marry her first husband. So if Rudolph Valentino married Gene Acker, then divorced her 6 hours later, then she went and was with another man an hour later, and then he died, and then she came back and remarried, it was considered adultery, and God can't condone that. So the law confused them. Jesus was saying, and we will see more as we get into chapter 19, that is one man and one woman for the rest of your life. Then if she comes back, and she's not an adulterer, but if you put her away besides for the fact that sexual sin had taken place, then you're causing her to be an adulteress. And anyone who marries her is committing adultery then. Jesus is saying all of this confusion should not happen in the first place. Putting away your wife through the New Testament, Paul says, for sexual sin or desertion of the marriage. Once again, the Pharisees adding to the laws and God making them confusing. Just like legalism. That we need to do stuff like work and be good and saved in Jesus, and the cross can't do that alone. That we have to wear certain clothing or have certain hair or certain way to be accepted by God. That we must wear suits and dress to church and nothing else is good enough. Shorts be banned. You can only read the King James Bible, and people told me that King James is the original language. Was thateth, we areth, to readeth in the Kingeth James only. What I don't tell them is that the reason King James wrote the translation, it wasn't because he was a Christ-like individual, but because he was a pedophile. And the religious people at the time told him he needed to translate the Bible in the King's English to atone for that. Which he changed a couple of verses around, which people don't know about, in the King James Bible to fit to his pedophilia. Which you needeth to knoweth which ones he changeth. The other issue was their culture too. A Roman, common Roman practice was you had a wife, a mistress, and a concubine. So Jews culturally would think it was okay to do that, even if some of the teachers of the law would be with prostitutes and believe it was kosher. So we need to be careful we don't get too caught up in culture. Culture can be good, and Jesus used culture to reach people. But when we start taking what Hollywood says and what the mainline culture is teaching and add to the Bible doctrine, there are some issues. Jesus used fornication because any sexual activity outside of marriage is wrong. The hardness of the heart is putting her away. Once again, it is the heart. You put her away, and that is the heart issue. You already deserted the marriage then. The main issue was that men added rules to the religion. Wearing shorts in church is wrong. Working slower and still doing a good job is wrong. Helping an elderly woman at the expense of going into a tomb backwards is wrong, which happened to me when I was taking a woman into the tomb of Christ. Wearing jewelry is wrong. Wearing certain clothing is wrong. Eating certain foods are wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong. The point was their attitude towards marriage was screwed up. Now let's look at oaths. Verse 33. Again, that you've heard it was said that the people long ago do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. People then made certain oaths. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne. People on TV tell us to make a pledge. And this verse says, don't. It's coercion by professional beggars. Swear. Give me 20 bucks and I swear I'll pay you back next week. I swear to God I will. I swear to God I'll never do that again. I swear by God Almighty, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to knock you out. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't swear. Oh, and don't knock people out either. Verse 35, or by the earth, or for its footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not swear by your head, you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Simply say you'll do something and then do it, then say, nope, I won't do that. Now for weights and balances. Verse 36, 40, 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. The judges were supposed to use weights and balances. What was happening? The Pharisees were teaching this as a personal obligation, though. If someone knocks out your eye, then you need to knock out theirs. This, of course, was never used in the Old Testament as a point of vengeance. though we see in many movies an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth being used that way, especially in revenge movies. What if it was more people would look like a pirate or Snake Plissken from Escape from New York? The Lord says there should be just weights and balances. Imagine someone breaks your tooth, then you go and hold them down while smacking the tooth out of their mouth with a rock or plucking their eye out with a stick. This is not what the law taught. Here is Jesus teaching us what we really should do. Verse 39, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn them the other cheek also. Now, if you can turn the other cheek, remember Jesus. He was beaten beyond recognition, scourged horribly, spat and beat on, crown of thorns smashed on his head with a rod. Remember, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he did not do already. Verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hang your coat over as well. Which, remember, they cast lots for his garments. Verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. See, there was a Roman law that if a soldier had a heavy load and they saw you working or doing something along the way, they could tell you to carry their stuff. The law said you had to carry it 1 mile. Some Jews measured out their homes 1 mile away. They would paint on a stone and mark it exactly 1 mile. Then they would carry it, and when they got to that stone, they would slam down the stuff and say, "Well, I carried it 1 mile, so there you go." It's the attitude. We say today, go the extra mile. Anybody ever say that before? Take the Romans' stuff 2 miles. The attitude in us should be different than the attitude of unsaved people. Verse 42, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Be gracious, but be wise, and don't be an enabler. Verse 43, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This takes me back to the beginning of chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Now, I'm really good at some of these verses and can pull a B+ or an A- if I'm grading myself, but these are the ones I struggle with a lot. We all get angry, lust, want vengeance, but that is why he died on the cross. But I have to think back years ago when I was so mean to a woman at my job for no reason. And sometime later, she allowed me to sit with her and ask questions about God. She became my friend, ministered to me after I persecuted and hated her. She showed me kindness when I did not deserve it. That you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Who is the author of Matthew? Matthew the tax collector. He knows from experience here. They hated the tax collectors. And Jesus is saying, you are no better than one if you don't love your enemies. Verse 47. And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not flawless, like we sang earlier, but perfect means a maturity in attitude, and the language implies a reflection of the kingdom and of a Christ-likeness. The statutes and the kingdom. It all comes down to attitude. All these things have a start and they have a beginning. You see, people who commit adultery begin with lust in their hearts. They begin by having emotional affairs instead of physical affairs. And you can have an emotional affair without even having physical intimacy. It's just a matter of being more open with someone else besides your spouse. spending more time with someone else besides your spouse, that is considered emotional adultery. People who murder begin with envy and hatred in their hearts. So, if you're in traffic and you're driving down the street and someone cuts you off, you can murder them in your heart. And guess what? You've already committed murder. People who steal, they begin with coveting in their hearts. Well, I really wish I had this. I wish I had that. So they go and they take it. But if they don't take it, they're still coveting. You know, Paul in the New Testament, he said, you know, I had all the commandments down. I thought I knew all of them until I got to the last one. And it cut me to the heart, he said. He said it cut him to the heart. Thou shalt not covet. You know, adultery starts with coveting. You begin to covet someone else's relationship. You begin to covet someone else. Then you begin committing emotional adultery with that person, and then you commit physical adultery with them. See, coveting leads to stealing, leads to lust, leads to disobedience and placing yourself above God. It's a matter of breaking all the commandments. What's your attitude? Would you rather have someone in church or kick them out because they're wearing shorts? When a drunk person came to our church one time, or several times he showed up in our church on Sunday nights, I didn't say to him, get out of here, you drunkard. You don't belong here. Because they do belong here. They need to be here, and I would rather have them be here than be somewhere else. I wouldn't mind having this church filled with people who have trouble and issues. And the funny part is, we all have troubles and issues. Some of us just think our troubles and issues are better than other people's troubles and issues. And that's the fun part. That's where legalism and religion steps in. Steps in when we start to believe that we are better than somebody else because we do something that they don't do. Well, because I wear shorts, that person wears shorts to church, and I wear a suit, that means that I'm better. Because that person reads the NIV and I read the King James Version, that means I'm better. Because Jesus spoke in the original King James. Just because this person listens to secular and Christian music, and I listen to Christian music, I'm a better Christian. That's when we start getting legalistic, and that's where we start struggling, and that's where we start going through different things, and that's when we start losing people. We start losing people when we, you know, say, well, this is that, or this is this, or this is that. See, as a pastor, I'm just supposed to teach you and say, hey, this is what Jesus is saying. This is what Jesus wants us to do. This is what Jesus is saying. It's your job to decide, hey, I want to take that with me and I want to use it and I want to apply it to my life. Or you can do the opposite and say, yeah, I don't really care about that. I don't really want to apply what Jesus said here. So that's up to you. But if somebody shows up in shorts in church, which people show up in shorts all the time at church. Some of our life members come to church in shorts. Hey, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Because years and years ago, I sat in a meeting. And people, it bothered people. It really bothered them. You know, a lot of junk bothered them. And they were legalistic. And it made me sad. But we should just love people where they're at. We should care about people where they're at. And allow God to change them. And that's the whole point. It's all about God changing people. It's about God, God's love. And we love people and God changes them. And as they change, hopefully they don't start getting legalistic and start getting on us about stuff. Because when I stand in judgment someday, I'm not going to stand there for you. I'm not going to stand there on your behalf as your pastor and take your judgment. That's up to you. That's your judgment. You will stand alone for what you did. And you will be accountable for that. So let's try to be less legalistic in our lives and try to be more loving and spiritual towards people in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just help us with this. Father, if there is legalism in our lives, if there's something that, you know, like the shorts thing, Father, in our lives, Lord, help us to break through that. Help us to step away from that, Lord. And Father, in that I praise you. I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the social media page and subscribe to our podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.